Cliff Ravenscraft here. This episode is going to be special. In fact, for the next several years, I am going to be pointing so many people to listen to this entire podcast episode. Over the last two decades, the number one question I've always been asked, Cliff, how do I find my target audience? How do I get my message in front of more people? How do I grow my email list? And most people expect me to say, go start your own podcast. And while I definitely think there's a lot of value in having your own podcast or multiple podcasts, there has never been anything on the face of this planet in my mind that will get you the best results of putting you in front of more people who are exactly your ideal client than being a guest on other people's podcasts, where your target audience is consistently tuning in. I have been podcasting for many years. At this point, I have 52 podcasts. I have over 4,700 podcast episodes. And I have, as a result of that, reached hundreds of thousands of people through my own content, nearly a million on my own. But because of being a guest on other people's podcasts, my voice has reached millions of people on this planet. The reason why I am going to be bringing people to this episode, I'm going to say, listen, before you go start planning your process of getting booked as a guest on other people's podcasts, come listen to this episode, my interview with Jessica Rhodes of Interview Connections. Now, Jessica and I go way back. That's going to come out in our conversation. By the way, are there other podcast guesting services out there? Yes. Are all of them fly by night, just copy paste and just hire a team of VAs to research some podcasts and send a bunch of messages over and over and over again? No, they're not all like that. I'm familiar with at least two or three other credible podcast guesting services, but none have been around as long as Interview Connections. And what you will hear about the evolution of Jessica and her business, and quite frankly, some of my highest fee clients that I've coached over the years who have actually hired Interview Connections to get them booked on shows, the feedback has always been phenomenal. I only know one other company that has that kind of reputation, but quite frankly, today I have decided I am going to become an advocate for Jessica Rhodes and her Interview Connections business. Have a listen to this entire conversation from beginning to end. You will discover not only the importance of being a guest on a podcast, but you'll get some clarity about some great tips on how to show up powerfully when you get the opportunity to be a guest. You'll get some great ideas, and especially the understanding the importance of confidence and conviction in your calls to actions about the value that you have to offer when you deliver that message of what you want people to do after they've heard you as a guest on that podcast, and so much more. This podcast episode, by the way, I very rarely ever do podcast interviews on my podcast. You have probably been listening to me for many years. How many guests do I have where I'm interviewing them about their business? That should tell you just how serious of an advocate I am for Jessica Rhodes and Interview Connections. And here's our conversation right now. Jessica Rhodes. Jessica, I cannot believe I've waited this long to do a collaboration with you. How is this even possible?
I know. I feel like we have before because we've been friends for so long and have referred to each other, but I'm just so excited to be here.
You know, the earliest I recall our relation going back, I know that we knew each other prior to the very first ever podcast Movement. But I think that was August of 2014 is when I first remember connecting with you at a deeper level.
And you were like, Cliff, I really want to tell you about Interview Connections, this company that I have started up. What is Interview Connections and when did you launch it?
Yeah, it's so fun to go back because, you know, when you've been in business for 10 plus years, there's so many different phases and people you meet along the way. And it's, I love connecting and reconnecting with people like you that knew me back when I was like, I'm starting this business. So let me tell you about it. So I founded Interview Connections in 2013. And I was starting out my business because I wanted to be home with my kids. I now have two kids, ages 8 and 10. So when my 10-year-old was a baby, I had previously left the job that I had before he was born. And my dad, who's a business coach, helped me start out as a virtual assistant. So I was starting by booking my dad as a podcast guest. And so I was Googling and looking for business podcasts and learning from people talking about podcasting like yourself, and looked around this landscape of podcasting and online business, and nobody was doing podcast booking. So I was having fun with it. People were really enjoying the service. So I spent, and maybe it was the summer of 2013, is when I was setting up Skype meetings with many people. Maybe you were one of them. And I was like, I have this idea. What do you think about it? Would you hire somebody to book interviews for you? Is this a service? And everyone was like, yeah, that sounds great. And so that's, I validated the idea through those conversations, launched it September 2013, and the rest is history.
Yes, it is. And it's been an incredible history. I know some wonderful things that have happened. I remember having those early conversations with you. I am in a unique position where anytime I've ever wanted to be a guest, back when I think it was in early 2018, I was ready to promote the Free the Dream Conference. I'm like, okay, I really need to reach out even beyond my network to be able to reach the type of audience and the size of audience that I want to come to this live conference. And I know the only way I'm going to be able to do that in the shortest amount of time possible is to show up in an incredibly powerful way as a guest on podcasts where my target audience for that conference are listening. I'm in that unique position that I've personally been responsible for helping 40,000 people launch a podcast. So I've never even considered the idea of going over to Interview Connections and signing up and hiring you guys to help me get booked. I typically just go to my alumni Facebook group and I say, hey guys, I'm looking to get booked on these podcasts. If you have this target audience, click here. And before I know it, I'm doing 3 podcast interviews per day, 6 days a week during the early part of 2018. It was an insane schedule, but let me tell you, it worked. So I'm a huge believer in being a guest on podcasts. In fact, as the podcast answer man for 12 years of my life, people always ask me, Cliff, how can I grow my audience? And that's not just from podcasters. That's just also from people who are entrepreneurs, even if they don't have a podcast. And I always tell people, hands down, there's nothing you will ever do to grow your audience faster than being a guest on other people's podcasts where your target audience exists. And I will say this, I have had the honor and privilege of sending many of my clients over the years to Interview Connections. And unlike some other services out there, which I haven't referred to, but I've heard feedback from, I will tell you, I've never had anyone have a negative experience with Interview Connections. In fact, it's only super positive. And the only thing I've ever heard recently is that, wow, that's quite pricey. And I'm like, yes, and it's worth it. All right. Yeah. So with all of that, I want to talk about podcast guesting. I want to tap into your expertise. You've been doing this for a decade, helping people get on podcasts. Yeah. So I think the first thing that you wanted to share is the magic of the one sheet. I've never used one. And should Cliff Ravenscraft have a one sheet? And if not, the person who doesn't have access to 40,000 people he's helped launch a podcast, or she,
yeah,
should they have a one sheet? And if so, what should be in it?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, you're in a unique position where you have this existing audience of podcasters. So you probably don't need a one sheet, Cliff. Most people do, though, especially if you are actively trying to get booked on podcasts. You are doing the pitching, you have somebody pitching you. That is where it's really important and really, really helpful. And I coined this term podcast one sheet because when I was first pitching and booking podcast guests and booking, you know, my dad specifically, I'm reaching out to podcast hosts, introducing myself, saying, you know, this is Jim Palmer, here's who he is. And I realized what would make the host job a lot easier is if I gave them a snapshot. This is the bio. This is who it is. These are some topics you could talk to them about. These are some questions you can ask them. From there, it makes the host job really easy to say yes, because as a podcast host, when somebody pitches a guest to us and says, hey, you should have this person on your show, they're so amazing. Okay, they sound amazing, but that sounds like a lot of work to figure out, okay, how do I introduce them? What topic should I ask them about? What questions should I ask? So number one, the one sheet is just a great way to help make the host job a lot easier. And also when you're getting booked on podcasts with a goal in mind to promote a conference, to promote your book, to promote your podcast, it's ideal if you're being asked questions that are relevant to the thing that you want to promote. Like you can go, like one of my most memorable podcast interviews was I went on the Walking Dead cast because I became friends with the host at Podcast Movement. That had nothing to do with interview connections. So I obviously was not talking at all. And that was fine. But if I'm going on a podcast where the goal is to be in front of my target audience, to drive traffic to my website, I would like to talk about topics that are relevant to my what my ideal client needs to learn about.
A one sheet is, for me, the understanding of this, it's like what PR companies have had for people who are trying to get on television and stuff like that. It also reminds me of the same purpose of your speaker page. There's a lot of people in my audience, they are professional speakers, and so they have a page that demonstrate, this is who I am as a speaker, these are the places where I've been, so you can see the credibility I have, here's some great images of me on stage, here's a couple clips of me on stage, and here are the topics that I routinely get asked to speak about. Here's what I can do for you. So it's really just in one page. It is an introduction to everything that person needs to know to make kind of a snap judgment. Should I have this person as a guest on my show? And also, I love what you said. It makes it easier for the podcast guests. It's like, wow, this person comes not only with a topic in hand, I've got a list of questions I can ask. This makes my job super easy, incredibly valuable. This one sheet, is it a PDF document? How are you doing that with your clients?
Yeah, we use a PDF. We keep it really simple. And I know some people have gotten really fancy with it. They'll have a whole landing page, they'll have a video, and all of that is fine. It doesn't not work, but I'm all about simplicity. Like, what is the, like, what do you actually need to get the job done? And that is a one pager PDF. Emphasis on the one, because some people like to go crazy and have it be multiple pages. It's a one pager. You can have more information on a press page on your website, which is like a whole other topic. It's great to have a press page, list out all the places you've been interviewed, have a short, medium, long bio, have lots of extra topics. That is fine. But the one pager is a PDF that you can attach. A lot of podcast hosts like to, well, I won't say a lot. I have met several that like to print it out. So keep that in mind with the colors and the design, because podcast hosts like to close out all distractions and just have it on their desk and have it there, you know, to read. So those are just some of the you know, some of the background information when you're considering how to design it and how long it should be and things like that.
I love that. Is there anything else that we need to talk about one sheets?
One sheets are pretty cut and dry. So just stick with the bio topics questions, keep it cleanly designed, and you're good to go.
Awesome. I love it. So the next topic I want to talk to you about is crafting the perfect interview. So what are some of the components that are necessary that make a really impactful interview so that you show up and you make an impact in such a way people want to know more about you? They want to follow you afterwards. They want to sign up for whatever it is that you're offering.
Yeah, well, so there's a couple different ways that I'm going to talk about this. And the first thing is a little less tactical and strategic, but it is energetic. You need to show up to your interviews and be totally present. It is so important to close out all of your tabs, close out all of your distractions, put your phone on do not disturb, get your lighting set up, figure out what needs to happen with the microphone, because anything that is going to distract you and have you not be present in the moment will make it so the interview isn't as good. And it might just, you might be saying the right things, but there is a difference. One of the reasons podcasting and podcast guesting is so effective is that the listeners feel like they are just in the room with you, and people can feel when there's just an energetic match and there's chemistry and people are like really dialed in, and they can tell when you're kind of zoned out and just going through the motions. So do what you need to do to be very present. That is number one, because when you are present and there's a really great connection, you're listening to the host, you're giving them great answers, that's when people are really engaged in what you're saying. The second part of having a really compelling interview is making sure, this kind of ties back to the one sheet, but making sure the topics that you're being interviewed about are speaking to the pain points that your ideal clients have. And this is so important. A lot of people just go to like how-to topics, like how to do this, how to do this, how to do this. But let's say you're selling coaching. A lot of people are coaches. You know, what are the pain points? Like, what are the root cause of the problem that your ideal clients have when they come to you? Like, what are they really struggling with at a deeper level, not just surface level, but like, as you can go deep as you can, and then have the have those listeners feel like you're in their head, and you're like, if they're thinking, oh my gosh, Cliff really gets it, Jessica really gets it, they're like getting deep below the surface, that's when listeners are pulled to you and they're like, oh, like you want to set off those light bulb moments during the interview and then support all of that with stories. Storytelling is a really important part, because not only does it show your experience, it shows that you have credibility, it shows that you've done this before, and it also showcases what you do without being salesy and promotional. Like, this is what we sell. But if you're like, I helped a client get booked on 30 podcasts, and from that they tripled their business, that's a story that showcases what I do, but it's not like me being promotional. Like, so like add in those stories that help create that emotional connection and showcase your experience.
I love that. And I just have a tactical thing that I want to add. If you're going to go through the expense of hiring somebody to help you get booked on a podcast and follow all of this stuff, show up with your energy, I just have one little tactical piece of advice. And that is, when you're a guest on somebody's show, don't do verbal affirmations. So a verbal affirmation is this. So Jessica, I want you to just speak. I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to tell me about your favorite podcast interview that you've ever done, like with a celebrity that you're like, oh my gosh, I feel intimidated. So, and then what I'm going to do is as you are answering this question, or you're telling me this story, I'm going to do verbal affirmations.
Okay. Of course, my mind just went blank, because I'm like, have I ever done a podcast interview before?
I love this. Not that you're on one now. And it's been a decade since.
I will
since
tell you.
Yes.
Now I'm going back, literally. So the first big guest I ever had was our mutual friend, Michael Stelzner.
Oh, yeah.
I had Michael on my podcast. And this was when I was first starting out my show. I was so nervous, because I am here talking to one of the most successful entrepreneurs in this space.
Oh,
I
my
have
gosh.
So little experience. Okay, I see what you're doing.
Wow. Uh-huh. Yeah. So verbal affirmations is where somebody, for me, when somebody asks me a question, sometimes they'll give this verbal affirmation. And occasionally, by the way, I'm not saying don't do any verbal affirmations, but be very intentional and very strategic about your verbal affirmations. Sometimes a verbal affirmation can be an indicator that you are present and in the moment. But one of the things that those who are not seeing right now, this is being done as Jessica and I are recording this live. It's being streamed live on the internet. So we have video going, and she is doing affirmations. So she is nodding, and I'm seeing that affirmation. But sometimes, by the way, we might be on Skype. I just did an interview with my dear friend Megan Porta yesterday, and we were on Skype, and she didn't have her video on. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to have my video on and have to smile on my cheekbones all in, you know, get locked up by the end of the hour. So I turned my video off. And so we didn't see each other, but I was still very intentional about not like agreeing with every statement. Every time she paused to take a breath, it try to avoid that temptation if you have this habit of affirming and agreeing with every statement with a, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, okay, oh, wow, yeah. Because if you listen to about a 30 or 45 minute or an hour long interview, that can get quite annoying. So it's just a tactical thing. But if you're going to pay to get booked on as a guest on a show, show up and it'll help you sound more professional if you've found that you've been doing this already.
That is such a good tip. And that is something that I learned, but I've never reiterated back as a lesson. So I love that you said that. And I learned it just by listening back to my own podcast and hearing myself do that. I was like, shut up, Jess, stop. So if you don't know if you're doing it, listen to your own interviews and see if you are. And the amount of like how annoying it is will make you stop really fast. So just listen to your own episodes.
And I have people, Jessica, that say, I can't listen to my voice. I won't listen to my interviews. And my response is, my question is, do you want to improve how you represent yourself and your brand and your message? And they're like, well, yes, that's very important to me. Then you must listen to your interviews. Because you may have somebody interview you and they are incredibly gracious and they have hired somebody to take out all of your ums. And when I'm one of those people, I don't pay somebody else to do it. I still edit all of my own podcasts. So I have 50 different podcast shows, over 4,700 podcast episodes, and a few thousand of those have guests. And a few thousands of those guests have a habit of umming almost every sentence. And they haven't learned how to get beyond that. But one way to get beyond it is to be a guest on a few podcasts where the host of the show is not editing out your flaws in your communication style. So I can tell you right now, I just noticed this when I'm listening, engaging. I'm like, within the first 5 to 10 minutes of a conversation, I already know how much time is it going to take me to edit this podcast interview. And Jessica's a professional. So far, I've made no mental note at all of a single edit point that's necessary. So congratulations. I love it. But here's the little tactical tip for you. If you are a habitual ummer, then what I would encourage you to do is listen to yourself, do it a lot, get annoyed by it enough, and then begin doing recorded conversations with people. And take a pause. It's okay to have silence. Do you know what is super easy for a podcast host to edit out? Long periods of silence. But to know which one of those things in the waveform is an it can be seen. It can be done. Yes, there are AI tools that will do this for you. But for me, I never want to take out all of the if it's a natural part of conversation. So I never trust an AI tool to go out and look at a waveform and see what an is and remove it for me, because sometimes it takes out a natural flow of conversation. And so if a person is a habitual ummer, I'm going to leave in maybe 3 to 10% of their because they were tied to the beginning of a sentence in a statement. But if it's a and then they continue on, then I'll take that out. There's nothing wrong with thinking about what you're going to say next. Anyway, so tactical tips. I love it.
No, I love it. These are such great tips. And this takes practice. Listening back, speaking a lot. I mean, I've been doing this for 10 years. I've been on, I've done hundreds and hundreds of podcast interviews, and I have elevated to the point where I know how to speak without using a ton of crutch words. I know not to do those constant verbal affirmations. It took practice.
Yeah.
It took practice. So, when we work with people at Interview Connections, like you said, sometimes people say, wow, that's pricey. That's because we only work with clients ready to commit long term. Because if you're only wanting to do a couple podcast interviews and see if it works, it won't. You have to commit long term for so many different reasons. But relevant to this part of the conversation, you won't be that good at the beginning. It's going to take time for you to build up your skill set to the point where you know how to be dialed into your message, how to deliver stories that are compelling, how to know when to tell a story and stop talking. Because lots of people like to ramble on until maybe the host interrupts them. It's okay if that's where you are right now, but don't give up after 2 months of interviewing. Keep going, because you will get better and better and better.
Yeah. And another tip, by the way, is if you don't have your own podcast, you might want to create your own podcast just so that you can get even more practice in communicating and editing your own voice.
Yes, absolutely. The best podcast guests also tend to be people who have their own show. When you have practice on both sides of the mic, you have practice interviewing, you now understand what it's like for the host when you're a guest and vice versa.
Are there any other tips that you have on your end for that perfect interview?
Yeah, well, the last tip is to give an effective call to action. And this is where a lot of money gets left on the table. A lot of times people do great interviews, they give great stories, they're going on great shows, and they ask me, well, it didn't really work. I like podcasting. Podcast guesting is fun, but I never got any business from it. And when I ask them, well, what was your call to action? They say, I don't know, I didn't really have one. The host asked me where people can find me, and I just answer the question. And yes, that is how the call to action will be teed up. The host will ask, where can our listeners connect with you? And the key there is to not list out the inevitable 10 places online where they could potentially find you. Give them one place to go to connect with you. That one place should be free. Do not start pitching your $10,000 offer on a podcast. No, 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 don't do that. Slap. It should be free. It should be high value. It should be easy to spell, easy to remember. Most people are listening to podcasts on their phone. They're going for a walk. They're working out. They're not going to remember your hard to spell name. So easy to spell, easy to remember, high value. Give them one place to go. And that one place should be the first stop on a journey that will hopefully guide them to working with you if they are the right fit and if your program is the right fit for their needs.
Yeah, I love that. One of the things that I do when I get into a podcast interview, the end of a interview, and they ask me, hey, Cliff, thank you so much. If somebody wanted to find out more about you, if they wanted to continue to follow your journey, or if they wanted to reach out, how should they stay in touch? Where can people find you? And this is my call to action typically that I use. And granted, I want to let you know that I've already communicated a ton of stuff related to mindset. And I've given a ton of value that is resonating at a deep level about mindset. It's like, wow, I wish I could think that way. So that's kind of been the gist of the interview. So I say, well, thank you. Obviously, anybody that's listening to my voice right now already knows about podcasting. Sure, check out my podcast, The Cliff Ravenscraft Show. It's super easy to find. But if you really want value, I want to tell you about my opening keynote address to the Free the Dream Conference. Now, I've given this talk at 20 or 30 different conferences. Every single time, it's a standing ovation. It radically transforms people's lives. I still get stories about 5, 10 a week, every week, of people telling me, Cliff, I just knocked off another thing on my list. So all beliefs have consequences. That's the title. The first year of my business, you heard, I only made $11,000 net income. If you want to know how I got to the place where I went from that in my first full year of experience to where now I've generated millions of dollars in revenue and helped tens of thousands of people through building online brands and overcoming limiting beliefs, you have to understand that it is not strategy. It is not techniques. You do not need another formula. You already know way more than you need to know to succeed in life and business. If you want to know why you're not succeeding, it's because you have beliefs that are holding you back. Every belief you have is going to have a consequence. And not only is it going to have a consequence, but the problem is you're unaware. You're not even consciously aware of about 95 to 98% of the beliefs that you have. You say, I believe I want this, and this is what I will get. But you're unaware of the 13, 14 contradictory beliefs that are absolutely fighting against every fiber of your being about going after that because of fears and everything else that you've picked up since you were a child. If you sign up for my All Beliefs Have Consequences talk, you will discover, number one, where your beliefs came from, how to become consciously aware of them, how to disassociate from them, and how to replace them with alternative beliefs. And you can get this for free, even though most people have paid thousands of dollars to attend conferences to get this advice. You can get it for free right now. This 1 hour video will absolutely transform your entire experience of life. You can get it for free right now. MindsetAnswerMan.com/free.
I love that. What I loved about that is how you communicated the values so confidently. And that's where I see a lot of podcast guests miss the mark. They think they believe that what they have is a value, but there is this fear around authoritatively and with conviction telling listeners, this will change your life. Get this. It's free. Here's where to get it. Like, it's not just the content of what you're offering, but it is the delivery that is going to motivate people to actually go where you're telling them to go.
Absolutely. And ever since I started giving that as my call to action, it's usually a huge influx of new subscribers to my mailing list. And there's a trailing response for about 3 to 6 weeks. And then it starts to trickle back down. And I'm like, okay, I should go get on another podcast.
That's so good. I love it.
I love it. All right. So the last topic that you gave me that you wanted to chat about is myth busting. There are a couple common misconceptions that people have around podcast audiences, the size of audiences, directory stats. I want to hear you air out all of your frustrations with the podcast community.
Okay. So I meet with close to, if not 100 people every single month who want to get booked on podcasts. They're coming into this podcasting industry through way of, I'm going to start being a guest. And on so many of these conversations, they ask about the audience size or what size show are you booking me on? Can I have a minimum benchmark of how many listeners the show has? And audience sizes are not public. Like, there's just no ifs, ands about it. The only person who knows how many downloads their podcast has gotten is the person who logs into their hosting account and can see the stats. And what you and I have both seen over this course of many, many years in podcasting is there's a lot of money coming into podcasting. There's a lot of businesses coming into podcasting. And one of those types of businesses are podcast directories, software services where they say, sign up, few bucks a month, you're going to get this directory, you're going to be able to find all these shows to be a guest on, and guess what? I'll even tell you how big their audience is. That is a big fat lie. Like, they don't know. They are guessing how big a show's audience is because they're using some algorithm where they get the host's social media following. They look at how many ratings and review the show has. Maybe they're using some SEO data about the domain authority. And then they're just guessing. And it's just, it makes me so angry because it's all in the fine print of the website, but most people aren't going and doing that research. And so there's just lies. I like have talked to friends in the podcast space. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get the free trial of this site and just do a little fact checking. Okay. You know, they say that your show has this many downloads. Is that true? And they're like, no, it is not true. So that is the myth I am committed to busting till I'm blue in the face is audience sizes aren't public. And you can get immense value, lots of leads, lots of clients, so much growth from small podcast audiences, you know, from audience. Like, one of my most memorable times was I had Jan Alunga on my podcast years and years ago, and he was promoting a product he had. I think it was like a $500 product. And I came on, I brought him onto the show like, yes, you can pitch your paid product because my audience needs it. And by the time the show had been downloaded 75 times, you know, within like a day of it releasing, I looked 75 downloads, he had already made 5 sales. So that's pretty good. You know, if you're in front of the right audience, you don't need 10, 20,000, 50,000 people to hear it. You just need to be in front of the right audience. So I'll get off my soapbox now, but that is what I always want to make sure that people know.
I love that. I'm glad that you pointed it out. And it is true. As a matter of fact, Apple doesn't know how many subscribers to your podcast there are. They only know how many people are downloading and listening to your show through Apple Podcasts. And Spotify doesn't know. They only know how many people through Spotify. And same with Google Podcasts. They only know through Google Podcasts. Only you have access as the podcast host to how many people are downloading your episodes. And even that isn't absolutely accurate. There's a lot of algorithm that has to figure out how many people started your podcast, listened to it for 20 minutes, and then had to stop, and they finished it at lunch break, and that's the same IP address. But wait a second, what about a place where there's an IP address that's shared among 3,000 employees? What if 35 of those employees are all different, various independent listeners to your podcast? How can they figure this out? I mean, so there's so many things about podcast audience size and stuff of that nature. But one of the things that I want to just throw in there, and not many people think about things this way, but when I am looking to be a guest on someone's podcast, I'm kind of saying this publicly, and I'm just now realizing how many different of my audio podcasts that I'm, because I think this is going to go into the Cliff Ravenscraft Show. It's going to go into the all new podcast Answer Man. And I think it's going to go in Cliff's Notes on Profitable Coaching. And I'm just hesitating. Do I say this out loud? But I'm going to. Sometimes I go to be a guest on somebody's show, not because I want to be exposed to their audience, but I'm looking to potentially have the host of that show become my client. I love the target audience of people who are out there who have a message, who have invested in creating consistent, high quality content for the world, and they are thought leaders. They actually have a leadership mentality. They have a heart of service. There are so many checklist items that a podcast host meets on my target audience list that oftentimes when I'm going, sure, I have the added benefit that the listeners might be in my target audience. And for me, it's all about that 10, 15 minutes after the podcast is done, that now you didn't know who I was before you interviewed me, but now you know. And now there's an opportunity for me to have this personal one-on-one dialogue, and some pretty magical things have happened as a result of that.
That is one of the things I talk about most often with podcast guesting as a strategy. One of the reasons I go crazy is saying you don't need to worry about the audience size, because you can get a lot of leads and clients just from the host becoming your client. That is the one person you actually know is going to hear the episode. I totally agree. It is the smartest way to approach podcast guesting is to focus on who the host of the show is. And I call that the green room chat, the time you're talking to them before the podcast interview starts, the time you talk to them after. And one tip for our audience here is to listen while the host is interviewing you. If they start going off script, they start asking questions that are not something that they've pre-prepared or that you've given them. And it's, I call them like asking for a friend questions. When they start describing themselves and they're like, well, let's say, for example, and they describe themselves, well, what would you say to that person? That's how you know they're starting to imagine themselves as your client and they want your advice. And what you can do to help inspire those types of questions is to tailor your answers to them. Learn about who the host is, read their bio, listen to another interview that they've done on another show so you get to know them. Because the more you can tailor your answers and your stories to that host, the deeper connection you have with that host. And when you have a deep connection with somebody, it is much more, it's much easier for them to now think about working with you.
Absolutely. Before I'm ever a guest on anybody's podcast, number one, I go and I listen to two or three of their other episodes, not their two or three most recent, certainly they're one of their most recent, but I usually go back to like an early episode, like a episode one, if it's available, and somewhere in the middle. And then what I do is I read their about page. I'm reading through their social media archive. I'm looking through their website. I am looking, and I go and find, you know, I search for that person's name and interview in YouTube and on Google, and I look to see if that person's been interviewed before. I go through incredible lengths to find out every single thing I can find out about the person who's about to be asking me questions. It is absolutely a total game changer.
It really, really is. And it just, this is just goes to show the importance of preparing. You know, when you're a guest on a podcast, and if you've been podcast guesting and you're wondering, how do I get more results? Are you doing everything Cliff and I are talking about right now? Are you researching the host? Are you getting, you know, prepared? Do you have a great call to action? All of these things go into a successful podcast guesting strategy.
I love that. There are, since 2013, a lot of other podcast guesting services out there that will help you get booked. There's only one that has my hands down recommendation since 2013 for more than a decade. It is interviewconnections.com. I want to actually ask you some questions because I've never used Interview Connections before. And so I have the unique ability to ask you some questions about your service from the mindset of somebody who's listening to this but doesn't quite know what all's involved. So if I were to sign up for your service, what's the first step?
Great question. So we have an intake form that we have our clients fill out when they first sign up with us, because that first month working together is a lot of information gathering. We get to know our clients at as deep of a level as we can so that we can effectively represent them. And sometimes we're like, can you just start pitching me tomorrow? Like, I have my bio. And we really take our time to get to know our clients. And we ask about, who is your target audience? What are your goals? What do you want to get out of this? What is your business? What are the topics you want to be talking about? What types of shows do you want to be a guest on? We like to ask, like, where are you at right now? Like, how many followers do you currently have across social media? Like, where are you at currently? Because then we want to see how far you've come once you have all this visibility. We create their podcast one sheet. So their bio, topics, and questions, we design that. We have a strategy call. We talk about, what is your call to action going to be? So that first month is really laying that foundation, that groundwork. And we also have a membership site with trainings and resources. So a lot of the tips we're talking about here, we have a portal. So a lot of our clients will go in and start self-studying and really learning and getting as much of this information as possible, so that when they're out there on the court doing the interviews, implementing, they have this knowledge from going through trainings and strategizing with our team. So that's what it looks like right at the beginning.
So I just want to make sure I understood this. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to fill out an intake form. And mm-hmm. Am I hearing it correctly that somebody on your team is going to personally be in touch with me and ask me questions, like over a Zoom call or something? And so you're going to be interviewing me to pull out some of the details. And then you guys are taking the intake information and the additional insight that you got from me. And are you guys creating my one sheet?
Yeah. So number one, we have an amazing team. One of the things that makes it so some people say we're pricey is that we have full-time employees. They're all local. They're highly trained. They are really good at this. So you have a success coach at Interview Connections. That is your podcast success coach. So they are personally working with you. They're on a Zoom call. They're talking it through. Most of our clients, they will give us their bio, their topics, their questions. So we walk them through. We have some tutorials on how to know what your topic should be, how to write your bio. Sometimes, you know, there's a nice little bonus if people pay in full. Well, I'll write their one sheet for them. So there are opportunities to have me personally walking you through that. So that is for our elite clients that make that investment. So they are giving us that content, and then we're helping to massage it and write it and finesse it and then design it. So we do the design.
I love that. There are a couple of key things that you said there that really stood out to me. One is, we have full-time employees. So this is, yeah. I think maybe in 2013, you probably were using some virtual assistants at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this you've evolved over the years. And this is something that is, by the way, it's new to me and probably is a great indicator as to why so many people rave about the experience that they have with you. But this is new insight for me. The fact that you have full-time employees that are doing this work for you. But you also said another key word. Local. So what I'm hearing, there, nothing against people in the Philippines, nothing against people in India and all these mm-hmm. other countries where you can hire somebody to work for you full time for $400 a month. But mm-hmm. you actually have people, am I hearing domestically here in the United States?
Yeah. So our employees all live in Rhode Island, a couple in Massachusetts, because wow. Rhode Island is like 2 feet long. So they're all in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. We previously had an office. So we were remote. We went remote during COVID, but from 2017 through 2020, we had a physical office space and now we all work remotely. But our booking team, they get together once a month. They were actually just together for a 2-day in-person retreat to work on the client experience. I'm talking full-time employees, payroll, health insurance, paid time off. Like these are real full-time team members that like podcast booking, podcast guesting, this is their career. So when you work with Interview Connections, like you don't have a contractor who's coming in to bill me for how many bookings they got that month and then do their other work with their other clients. Like our team is top-notch, amazing. And I love them so much. They're incredible and our clients love them.
I love this. Okay. So the next thing I have as a question is I've signed up, I've worked with my success coach. You guys have helped me really hone my one sheet. I now have a lot of coaching on how I can be an incredible guest beyond what Cliff and Jessica talked about in this incredible, awesome piece of content that Cliff published. And then, of course, you have online courses and an online portal to learn mm-hmm. even more and dig deeper into how you can succeed in being a guest on people's podcasts. So now, what are the packages that are offered? Are there different tiers that I could sign up for? And how do I get to select whose podcast show? How does this work next?
Yeah, so we offer one package. So there are not tiers, and we offer one package of 30 guaranteed bookings. And the reason we do that is because we have found over 10 years that our clients who commit to at least 30 or more interviews see the most success. So we are not interested in working with clients and setting them up for a package that's not going to deliver them optimum results.
I'm going to pause you right there.
Hold on. I'm like, wow, how did I not know all of this? This is so amazing. I can't believe that. Okay, so, I'm going to become an advocate for Interview Connections from this point forward. That is so amazing. And here's what I can tell you right now. The people that I really want to go and sign up for your services, like me, they just got it. They just now picked up. You could speak like Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, 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 for the rest of this episode. It doesn't matter. The people that I wanted to hear about Interview Connections has just made the decision to sign up for your service. And by the way, the ones who haven't been convinced yet, they're not your target audience. It's perfectly fine. Nothing against them. You can go out and hire virtual assistants to bug me like crazy with the stupid copy-paste emails that are not personalized, and I hate them. Not that... I'm sorry. I'm okay. All right. Continue on.
Yes. So we offer 30 podcast bookings. Again, that is the minimum number of podcasts you should do to start seeing momentum, start seeing success. And I'd like to touch on the timeline because people ask why, you know, people ask, well, can I cancel after 3 months? And we need to take a moment to talk about timeline because we're unique right now. We're streaming live, but most podcast interviews and the people who hear the audio recording aren't hearing it right now. They're hearing it, I don't know when or whenever you're going to publish this. So when you get booked on podcasts, let's say you're working with us, onboarding month one, we are starting to send pitches in month two. Most podcast hosts do not respond to a pitch the moment they receive it. Maybe they leave all their pitches in an email folder and then they go through them all on Friday. It takes time to hear back. It takes time to get a yes. And then we connect you with podcast hosts who have said yes. It's a very simple introduction email. Cliff would love to have you on the show. Here is a link that you can use to schedule the recording. Please get in touch with me if you have any questions, but we are so excited to connect you two for this interview. Then you schedule the recording. That recording could happen 2 weeks from the day you get introduced. It could happen a month. It could happen 2 months later. Podcast hosts are batch producing. They're batch recording. They schedule their interviews out. So typically, our clients start recording their interviews in the third month of their contract with Interview Connections. And then the interviews start going live month 4, 5. So when someone says, well, can I just test it for 3 months to see if it works? No. You can't. If you want to test it, we are not for you. Go to a month-to-month service that doesn't have the confidence in delivering the service at the level of excellence that we do. So that's the answer. It's 30 bookings. Once you fit 30, you are seeing momentum. You are seeing results. You are feeling the confidence and the growth that podcast guesting helps you to achieve.
I love all of that. If I were thinking about signing up, if I had some target podcast, like some top five dream list of podcasts I'd love to be a guest on, can I give those to you and your team to pitch me to?
Yes. I am so glad that you asked this. So we call that a wish list. We welcome wish lists. We want to know your dreams. We want to know what shows you want to be a guest on. And we will vet those shows first, because sometimes people want to be a guest on a show that doesn't have guests. We'll let you know we are not going to pitch you to that show. They don't have guests, but it looks like a great podcast. So we're going to vet them and make sure. And we are happy to pitch you. We will also educate you on the likelihood of being booked on Oprah's podcast.
Oh, thanks.
For example. So we are going to offer our feedback. And I also think this is a good time to let the audience know that some of those much larger shows are pay to play. There are a lot of very big podcasts that now charge the guest a fee to be on the show. And so they say, well, why can't you get me on there? Like, they have guests all the time. And they do. I'm not in the back end of those producer rooms, but I have had calls with agencies that facilitate pay-to-play interviews. And that's not what we do. We do not book on shows that are going to charge the guest, because I believe in the authenticity of a podcast interview being earned media.
Okay, great. So if I had on my wish list a podcast that does have pay to play and I'm willing to pay to play, your service is not going to go and try to make that connection for me, correct?
We'll let you know. We'll say, hey, they charge.
Oh, so if I say to you, hey, listen, I recognize and I appreciate the fact that you're not pitching me by default to anybody that charges, but I do have a wish list. And I'm willing to pay up to $30,000 per spot to be on these five shows. It would be that worth it for me. Would your team then make that pitch for me?
Yeah, I don't see why not. It's our clients' money. If they want to pay it, they can. Our clients typically don't want to do that. Yeah. But yeah, we definitely can. It hasn't come up.
Well, it might now.
Yeah.
there are some people out there. I mean, because I'm thinking, gosh, if I could get on Lewis Howes, or if I could get on Tim Ferriss, or if I could get these people, the Joe Rogan show or whatever. I mean, they're a show with millions, or at least hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of subscribers. Yeah. And it would be worth the investment to some people. And they are already at such a level that they just need somebody to facilitate that connection that knows how to do this in the most reasonable way that will be the most likely for success.
Yeah. And I think it's so important, too, that people like really understand where their business is at and can they handle the influx of leads that would come from a show with millions of listeners, because a lot of businesses do not have the infrastructure to handle the influx from a huge show like that. Like sometimes you'll hear shows going on Shark Tank and then their whole website crashes because they can't handle it. So yeah, there are absolutely people out there where that makes sense for them. For a lot of our clients, they need to build up an infrastructure and a team and just be realistic about, do you need an audience with, do you need a show with a million followers? For some people, and I have actually made, like I turn people away. Sometimes I'll have a consultation call. They are truly about the masses. They have a message that needs to be heard by millions. And I will say, I don't think Interview Connections is for you.
Yeah.
We're booking on mid-range shows. I totally support you going out there and doing whatever you need to do to get in front of millions of people. That's not what we're going to do. And so I'll recommend, you know, PR firm or, you know, agencies that kind of facilitate the paid podcast placements. So that's what you can also get from me, is I will 100% be honest with you about what we can do and what we're not the best fit for.
Yeah, that's one of the things I appreciate about the way that you're communicating about what's gone on with the evolution of your business. This is amazing. I love that. And yes, those people are more likely to hire a publicist.
Yeah.
Easy for me to say.
Yeah.
I'm not a professional communicator, a publicist or PR person to go out and market their brand and get on those shows. With that being said, it doesn't have to be millions. There are shows that have, let's just say, 50,000, 100,000 subscribers that do have pay to play, and they're not Oprah's, and they're not even the Lewis Howes or the Tim Ferriss level, but you know, they have an incredibly large audience and they recognize the value of it. And yeah, they might have a fee of $3,000 or $5,000 to be a guest, and you might be interested in paying, and it might not make sense to hire a publicist to go and try to make that happen for you. So I really appreciate the nuance of that aspect of it. This is amazing. The one last question I think I have. Well, first of all, I know that I have the question. I'm just thinking about whether or not it's the last one. So the one question that is coming up is, what does a pitch look like? You've got this full-time employee out there. How are they making pitches to the podcast host?
Yeah, well, the pitches are all a little bit different depending on how warm of a contact that podcast host is. One thing that we did a few years ago is we built our own software. It's an internal database that we use, and it's an amazing tool that our team has to know how many times have we pitched a show, how many guests has that show taken from us. So we have this incredible software database that we can use to get great podcasts for our clients. And so if we have a show that takes every single guest, it's as simple as, you know, hey, friend podcast host, like we have another client, we think they'd be great, here's their one sheet. So if it's like an ongoing conversation, it's a very simple. If it's a cold pitch to a show we've never worked with before, then it's a more thought through email, introducing ourselves, introducing the guests that we have that we think would be a great fit. This is their one sheet here. Here's why we think they would be a great guest for your show. So they have some different kind of pitch templates that they work from depending on who they're pitching, who they're reaching out to. But ultimately it's a, you know, beginning, middle, and end. Intro, here's who the person is. Close, will you have them on your show? Here's a one sheet, here's a link. And then they've got kind of a follow-up process as well. Hey, haven't heard back from you. Thought you might like to see an episode that they were on. You can listen to them on this podcast. So that's kind of the short overview of what the pitching looks like.
Gotcha. So I love the fact that you have your own software. Do you, in your own software, I'm just curious now from a business perspective, do you have a place in there where you rank the ratings that a guest that is paying you has as far as their experience or their results that they're getting? So for example, like, do you have a place in there? It's like, hey, our clients are ranking this experience with this podcast very highly.
That's a great question. I don't know exactly how we're doing that. I don't know if it's a straight ranking system. I will tell you on the flip side, if we get negative feedback, we mark a show, do not pitch.
Gotcha.
So we do steer, like we do use it. We do take the intel we get, both positive and negative, and make that note so that we know, like if a host ever tells us, I don't take guests, they're marked do not pitch, we don't pitch them again. Which I'm sure you know, if you ever tell someone, don't pitch me, and they keep pitching you, you're like pulling your hair out. So that's one thing that's very, very important to us and why our reputation has stayed so strong, is that we have like really good systems on the back end to make sure that we're always going to the right shows.
That, I love that. And what if somebody is thinking about doing this, but they're in a niche that is so small that probably nobody that you has hired you has ever wanted to be a guest on this type of podcast. There's probably in the entire world of podcasts, there's probably 15 or 20 of these podcasts out there. So minimum of 30. Now, you can make a case for the potential that your target audience may be listening to some other podcasts that are adjacent to the topic. But what if that it's a super niche? Is this where the wish list would come in, that you would take that wish list of those 20 podcasts that they're aware of and make the pitches to?
That is a good question, because sometimes there are really, really niche businesses where I'm like, I don't know. And you said what I always say is that they may be listening to shows outside of your niche. So let's see who your target audience is. Can we position you? Is there a part of your story or your expertise that would be relevant to these other shows? Usually there's at least enough shows to get somebody on that it would help them build their brand. And then when I'm like, I really don't think there's enough shows for you, I say, go start your own podcast, because we need, there's not enough shows. So that's where I'm like, go be a podcast host if you want to leverage podcasting. But I don't know, like, I don't see the shows. But that's where I'll say, I always do consultation calls, strategy calls with people before they sign up, so that we can know that, all right, if we're going to promise this to you, we've done some due diligence to make sure we'd be able to deliver.
How can people go to sign up? What's the best way to do this? And I want people to know, I do have an affiliate relationship with Interview Connections. I very rarely ever tell people to do the things that are necessary for that to get tracked or anything, because it's just not been that important to me. And I haven't been the advocate that I now plan to be. So if somebody's listening to my audience and they're saying, hey, okay, I now understand the value of being a podcast guest. I now know that I don't want just this fly-by-night other service out there that's working with people outside of the country doing their copy-paste pitches. I really like the level of what I'm hearing here, and I would like for Cliff to get whatever affiliate commission is coming his way. How do people do that?
Yes. So please go to interviewconnections.com and schedule a consultation call. Full transparency, I don't have a sales team. You will talk to me personally. So just click the link that says schedule a consultation call. There is a box that says, how did you hear about us? Just put Cliff.
There you go.
You're my only Cliff. So just put Cliff. And then I will make sure that I immediately put Cliff as the referrer, so he gets what he deserves here for featuring us. But just reach out, schedule a call with me. Let me know that Cliff is who told you about us, and then we'll have a conversation again. When you have a consultation call with me, what you see here is what you get on a call. We're going to talk about your business, your goals, your target audience. We'll see if our service is a match for you, and then we'll get you signed up and get going. So I do encourage you to schedule a call. If you're like still listening an hour in, then it's time to schedule a call, because that means you're interested enough.
You're ready. Let's do this. About it. So just head over to interviewconnections.com and put Cliff in the how did you hear about us section.
Yes.
Jessica, I am so delighted we had this conversation today. You blew my mind with just how far your business has come over this past decade. I already had super high regards. I wouldn't have even offered to do a collaboration with you otherwise. But my esteem for what you are doing in the world today, you watch how many people come your way from this moment forward. I can't wait to be this advocate for interviewconnections.com. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Cliff. That means so much.